We'll go ahead and stand for our praise song. We bring the sacrifice of praise, number 2031. Please remain standing for the call to worship. Happy are those who follow paths of righteousness.
We take delight in the wisdom of God.
Happy are those who reach out to those in need.
We find delight in the law of God.
Happy are those who set aside envy.
Holy stream of righteousness, as we embrace the dawn of this week and the reemergence of hope in our lives, we sing your praises. As we face the journey before us, we seek your wisdom and your strength. Erase the envy from our minds and the biases from our hearts as we enter this space today of worship. Fill our lives with the refreshing brooks of your peace. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 347, Spirit Song. We pushed her right along this morning, so while the kids are coming up, we're going to wait just a few seconds, and till the on-air light comes on, I'll do that little ditty, and then we'll keep moving right along. Good morning, and welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Deb Darling, your worship leader this morning, and Jackie Teets is our pianist. And now we will have our children's moment.
Good morning. Let's try that again. I just pulled my earpiece out. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Our message this morning in our morning worship after you're gone to Sunday school is going to be about questions. Are you ever called upon to answer or ask questions when you're in school?
Yes.
Do you ask more questions or do you answer more questions? Yes? It depends on the day and what the question is. Okay. Anybody else have an answer? Do you ask more or do you answer more? Did anybody ever tell you that there really is no stupid question? Only good questions. If you have that question in your mind, don't ever, ever be afraid to ask it. Now, sometimes I'll call a business because I need to ask a question, and sometimes I start out with, I know this is probably going to sound like a stupid question, but however, I need the answer. And so just because, you know, maybe one or two of us know doesn't mean we all know. So asking that question, maybe you're being brave enough for everybody, right? If you have that question, there's a good chance that other kids have that question too, or other adults. God tells us, because of his nature and how awesome he is, he wants us to ask him anything at all that's on our mind. Sometimes we get answers right away, that God gives us answers right away. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we might feel like we're never going to get the answer. But he wants us to always be open to ask the questions. Do you ever have a question that you wish you could ask God? Yeah. We do, don't we? Anybody want to share one of those? Yes, go ahead.
One that I remember having when I was really little.
Okay. If you're so good, why don't you keep me out of trouble all the time?
Yeah.
That's a good question, right?
I think I was about 3 when I asked that question.
You were about 3 when you asked that question? You know what? I probably still should be asking that question. And I'm a lot older than 3. We have questions, don't we? We have questions. And I know that I've had even adults ask me questions I don't know the answer to about God. And they'll say, you know, why did God make me experience this? Why, you know, why didn't he just take that away? Or why didn't he make me good so I didn't make that mistake or whatever? Why didn't God do this or why didn't God do that? I don't have the answer to all of those things. But I know that God loves us so much, every single one of us, he loves us so much that he's not going to leave our side during those times where we feel like we're all by ourselves. He's not left your side ever. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. That's what it tells us in Scripture, and that's what we hold on to today. And he says, don't be afraid to ask me. Even if I can't answer you right away, I believe that he gives us words of comfort, helping us to be patient, helping us to have hope that in the future we will know those things. And I believe someday we do get to know all of that. But today we have questions, and it's okay to answer, ask them and ask God to answer them. So that goes along with school too, doesn't it? Don't be afraid to ask your questions at school. You know what that tells your teacher? Tells your teacher you're paying attention. Tells them that you're really thinking about what they've got to say or what the book has to say. And it's okay to ask. Always don't think that you're, it's a stupid question. There is no such thing. Well, let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for having that relationship with us where we know that we can ask you anything. And if you can answer it right away, you will. And if you can't and you're asking us to just trust, then I pray that we can be patient to do just that. Bless these kids. Bless every single one of them. We love them, Lord, and we miss them if they're not able to be here. And we just ask you to bless them today and their households and their families in a very special way. We give you all the thanks and glory, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming up.
Our Old Testament reading today is Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. May God add his blessings upon the readings of his word.
Are there unspoken needs today? And I know those of you listening in may have unspoken needs as well. Know that the Lord knows your heart and hears your prayers. Let's bow this morning. Heavenly Father, you are our divine source of understanding. When confusion swirls within our daily lives, contributing to the discord in our world, our selfish desires consume our attention, blocking out your voice and the needs of others from our view. Lord, may your peace still the whirlwind within our minds and help us hear your holy wisdom as we walk our journey of faith. And may kindness spring forth from our tongues each and every day. Lord, bless each one here this morning. Bless those that are listening. We pray, Lord, that we will hear your voice, that through scripture, through song, through prayer and praise, may those words come before your throne of grace, and may you be pleased, Lord. May they be as a fragrant incense before you today. Lord, hear our prayers for those that are struggling with health. Lord, for those that are trying to get their crops off. For those that are having procedures or awaiting procedures. Lord, for the healing in our spirits, whether it be physical or spiritual. Lord, you know our needs. We thank you for the kids in the service today and the nice group that we have. We pray, Lord, that more folks will understand the need to come and ask those questions, as we talked with the kids this morning. Ask questions and be in the midst of what you're doing, Lord, within us, inspiring us to do in the community. Lord, again, we pray that you will bless our service, bless those that are here, bless, Lord, those that are listening. We ask, Lord, again, for your healing touch, your ministering touch, and we give you thanks for allowing us to even be here this morning. Lord, may this time be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray these words that the disciples were also taught to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And now we'll have a beautiful anthem by the choir.
Call for some.
Thank you, choir, for that. One of my very favorite hymns. It always just does my heart good before I read the scripture and go further into the message to hear the choir anthem, and I appreciate that very much. It just puts us in the right frame of mind, I think, and the right spirit for what God has to share with us today. Mark chapter 9. If you're turning in your Bibles this morning, Mark chapter 9, and then we're going to skip over to the 30th verse, 30 through 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Well, you already got a little preview of the message today. And in reading that scripture, it says things pretty plainly. In that gospel reading, Jesus clearly is teaching his disciples. And, you know, what always sticks out to me is it says, "And they did not understand." These words are words from Scripture. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. They will kill him. 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. And then it goes on to say they didn't understand what he was saying. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Maybe it's clearer to us because hindsight's 20/20. And maybe that's why it's a little more clear to us. But it also says they were afraid to ask. We should never, ever be afraid to ask. Maybe they didn't have a teacher tell them that there's no such thing as a stupid question, or that the only stupid question is one that is never asked. The disciples didn't ask Jesus this very important question because they were too afraid to ask him. Sometimes we're afraid of the answer, aren't we? Did you ever delay asking your parents if you could do something or go somewhere because you were afraid what they were going to say? You were afraid they were going to just turn you down flat and say, "No, no, you can't go." These were men that had walked and talked and experienced and watched. They knew Jesus, I believe, even though his ministry was a three short years. I believe they knew the character of Jesus very well. And yet, maybe it was the answer that they were afraid of. Maybe they really didn't want to know why. Maybe they were afraid of what it might mean for them. I guess that would have been my excuse. Okay, if that's going to happen to you, what's going to happen to me? Because somehow we always turn it back around to us, don't we? What does that mean for me? How will that affect me? For whatever reason, the disciples don't ask Jesus the question that is first and foremost on their minds because they're just plain afraid to ask it. It's the right question, if you ask me, and they should have asked it. Because they're afraid to ask the right question, they end up getting all tangled up in some wrong questions, as we hear, as we listen a little deeper to that scripture. So what were they talking about? They were talking about who is first. Who is the best? Now, we're not talking about 10-year-old little boys. In my opinion, we're talking about some grown men. And yet it was important to them. Can you even hear the conversation going on? Well, I sat with him 10 minutes longer than you did yesterday. And you know what he said to me? I'll bet he didn't say that to you. We can hear it, can't we? That was the wrong question. That was trivial and unimportant. And isn't that often the problem with ignoring the question that we are afraid to ask? We get all tangled up in something else. We see it in our world. We see it in our own lives, too. For whatever reason that we could come up with, if it's fear or something else, we avoid asking right questions and important questions. And because of that, we get all tangled up. And we end up many times with consequences. It just seems like asking questions shouldn't be that hard. But in this gospel reading, the disciples were afraid. Who's the greatest disciple? Who's the greatest among us? Obviously, the wrong question. When Jesus and his disciples arrive back in Capernaum, Jesus decides that it's time to help them see how foolish this question and debate is. He turns around and asks them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And they were silent. Did they wonder how silly it was when it was actually happening? But I think now the realization has come. How ridiculous are we? Jesus already knew, but he probably wanted to see what they were going to say. So he kind of answers the question himself. He said, "Whoever wants to be great must serve, and whoever wants to be first must be willing to be the very last." And then he grabs hold of one of those little children among them, this child who doesn't know as much as all of them, this child who hasn't experienced the life that they've experienced yet, this innocent, precious child. And he says that whoever wants to become great should start by welcoming this child in his name. He's asking us to be like those little children and ask all the questions we want. He is not our enemy. He is our friend. He is the one with the answers. He probably wants to know that we're paying attention to what's really important all around us. There's a question, actually, that this story leaves with me. What if the disciples were willing to ask the question that was really on their minds? Would that have changed anything in the way it all played out? Would it have made Peter less angry when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he lopped off the ear of the centurion? Would it have helped them to stay awake a little longer when they were praying with Jesus in the garden? Would it have changed anything if they were willing to ask the right questions? Would it have made it different when the cock crowed three times and Peter denied Jesus? Would it have made things different? The question of why their hoped-for Messiah must be killed before being raised on that third day. What if they had asked the question? Wouldn't asking it help them understand what Jesus is up to? And maybe bring them even into a closer relationship with him and help them understand that they too are being asked to take up their cross? That they too are being invited to lose their lives for the sake of the gospel? And in doing so, find new life. Wouldn't having that conversation have made the argument that they were having amongst themselves seem rather silly or a lot silly? It's hard to argue about who's the greatest after all when you're trying to understand why God's Son must die on a cross. Sometimes asking the right question is just as important or more so than finding the right answer. David Tracy put it this way: real religion does not give final answers. It makes us ask better questions. Questions are important. If you think about how many questions you ask a day, but asking the right question can change the world. Many, if not most, important scientific discoveries have been made because somebody asked the right question. Asking the right question can also change our lives in a smaller scale, at home, at work, at school. If it's important to ask the right question in those settings, how much more important is it to ask the right question of our Creator? Maybe, just maybe, the most important question that we can ask of God is the very one that we're afraid to ask. And maybe not asking that question is affecting our relationship with God in lots of unnoticed but important ways. So much of the time we'll ask our neighbor, we'll ask our friend, we'll ask our relatives, we'll ask our spouse. But do we ask God? Do we ask God to make things clearer for us in our minds? Maybe just saying it out loud sometimes will give us a little peace. We don't have all those answers, and I'm pretty sure God isn't choosing to give us all of the answers when we snap our finger. Because maybe there's some other things that need to play out before he can fully give us that clear picture. Many people ask God, what do you want for me in this life? What am I supposed to be doing? What are you asking me to do for you? And many times it isn't clear right away. But then I know that there's sometimes that doors begin to open and God shows us when we ask. Did you ever do a study years ago about the prayer of Jabez? Anybody ever do that here? It's really interesting because we had gentleman come in one time at the church I was serving, and he did a whole 3-day, it was like a revival service, 3 nights, and talked about the prayer of Jabez. And maybe I'll do that one of these days. But when you pray for God to enlarge your territory, by golly, you better be pretty serious about that, because he will enlarge your territory. He will show you where he wants you to be. And there might even be a point where you say, what in the world was I thinking when I ask him to enlarge my territory? Because that means I need to be faithful to what God's asking me to do. And there's going to be new things and new ways and new people and new experiences. When we pray those prayers, God hears those prayers. When we ask those questions, he hears the questions. And he wants to ease our minds with hope and assurance that however it turns out, that he's already there. We have a question every day when we hear the news, don't we? What in the world? So many times that question goes up in our minds. What in the world is happening? What in the world was that person thinking? What in the world caused that to happen? Those questions that come out of our mouths and our minds, and God takes them seriously. Jesus even asked questions. He asked his heavenly Father as he was dying on the cross. Maybe it was one of the most important questions that Jesus ever asked. It must have been the darkest moment in his life when he asked the question, my God, why have you abandoned me? Was Jesus supposed to ask God this? That's right. That's right. He asked that question even when he knew he must be killed. He predicted it ahead of time. He predicted it in the gospel reading today, in fact. And he knew that he would be raised on the third day, but here he is on the cross asking his heavenly Father this painful, honest, and troubling question. Why are you not there, Lord? I hear people ask that all the time. As I shared with the kids this morning, I hear people say in different settings, not necessarily here, but I hear people say, question God. Why doesn't he answer my prayer? Why does he answer someone else's prayer? Why doesn't he answer mine? He doesn't like me, he doesn't hear me. It's okay to ask those questions. It seems to me that if Jesus can ask those questions of his heavenly Father, that there is absolutely no question that there are not is nothing that's out of bounds for us to ask either. But there's something critical to remember about Jesus' question. When Jesus asked that question, he begins it with the words, my God. Jesus is asking the question, yes, but he's not giving up on the relationship that he has with the Father, just as we shouldn't either. That's what people of faith do. We ask God the tough questions, the questions that trouble us, but we ask him because of our faith, not despite it. When Jesus asked God this question, I can't help but wonder if he got an answer, an immediate answer. And I suspect that perhaps the answer didn't come till after he breathed his last here. And then, of course, he got his answer. God didn't abandon his only begotten Son, just as God doesn't abandon us either. And as Steve said, that was his human, the human nature coming out, perhaps. I don't know if there's going to be an ask me anything room in heaven, but I picture something like that. I believe that when the kingdom comes in its fullness, all of our questions will be answered. And I look forward to that day. But in the meantime, we are called to live by our faith. And that means to live with questions. Ask them, but then wait patiently in faith for an answer. Going back one last time to the disciples in today's gospel reading, who were afraid to ask Jesus a question that was on their minds, what if they asked Jesus the right question, the question they wanted to ask? Why must you suffer and die? I know it was first and foremost on their minds. Instead, they chose to argue about who was the greatest. What a difference it could have made on that walk back to Capernaum, even if they didn't get a clear answer to their question. I think sometimes the Lord says to us, wait and see. Don't you? Sometimes he just says, wait and see, trust me. I won't steer you wrong. So today I just want to invite us during the week to spend more time asking God the question or the questions that trouble us. It's okay. What if every day during our devotion and prayer time we ask God a question and wait patiently for an answer? I wonder if our greatness would begin to matter less and less to us. Just like I wonder if the disciples would have argued less about who was the greatest if they asked Jesus the question that was truly on their minds. What about us? Would we find ourselves spending more time serving God, serving others? Would we find ourselves more willing to accept God's will, even when we didn't understand it? Would our faith actually be made stronger by our willingness to ask the hard questions? Would it make us more like Jesus himself? When it comes right down to it, there's only one way to find out, right? So let's make it our goal this week to spend more time asking God some of those ask God anything questions. Through our honest questions, let us draw just a little nearer to God every day, trusting that when we do, God's going to draw near to us as well, and believing that one day all our questions will be answered. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for hearing all of our questions, for being patient with us when we ask time and time again, for being patient with us when we, even with an explanation, don't get it. Thank you for loving us so much that you give us everything we need for the day. Lord, I pray that you will be with us this week as we go on our journeys, wherever they take us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we can have our ushers come for our gifts and tithes this day. Thank you. Beloved One, with the work of our hands, we create pathways of care. With open hearts, we welcome your abundant wisdom, which invites us to share. May our gifts transform our communities into places of humility and generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 364, Because He Lives. Lives. Amen. May divine strength be our clothing. May holy righteousness be our guide. May the wisdom of God usher us on our path. May the love of Christ yield fields of mercy. May we delight in our adventures with God each moment of our lives. Amen and amen. Let's close by singing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Thank you for being here today, and please come and stay for our fellowship time.